This is Sunday morning, July the 19th, 2020. This is the third Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is Tending to God's Business. Tending, T-E-N-D-I-N-G, to God's business. Isn't that what the Lord's been saying all morning? Tending to His business, not getting off onto somebody else's trail. Putting pressure on people that we need to respond, we need to do something. No, we need to do what God's told us to do. We need to stick with it, speak, decree. This is what God has assigned for us to do. And to me, it's the most important thing that could be done in the earth today is to do what God did. Light be, light was. When He saw devastation, the devil had been there, devastation. What is the word, Billy Graham? I forget. I had it. In other words, in the Hebrew, it meant like opening a teenager's room and it's devastated. You just shut the door. So the Russians knew about that because probably a lot of the Russians were Jews that migrated to Russia. They had a word for that mess. That's what God saw, that mess. And then when He saw the mess, He said, light be. Then creation started. He restored it, everything. God made everything and it was good. It was all made for man. We're going to read Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right here, here it is. Tohu wabohu. That's the words. Tohu wabohu. It means it's a mess. Uninformed and unfulfilled in the Hebrew. But without form and void. It describes the condition of the earth after the initial act of creation. So we know God created it. And then something happened. And evidently, because the earth was covered in water, there was a flood. All right. 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and morning was the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Boy, the president's going to be surprised. He's got his infrastructure plans all laid out, but he don't have a clue our infrastructure plans, God's infrastructure plans. He may have a little clue. I know he knows about the millennial reign, and that's the time that we're coming into. So he's going to rebuild infrastructure. Well, that's what we're doing. We're rebuilding. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the earth be gathered together unto one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the earth waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. We can do it. We don't have to have a cent. We just got to have words. Yeah, word is the seed. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in an open firmament of heaven. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And even the morning were the fifth day. They're still doing their part, aren't they? And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, that them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. How many know today that that's the reason we're in the place we're in? Man has not taken his dominion. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. There's the replenishing process, the rebuilding of the earth. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Keep it in order. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I thought that was game and wildlife's job. No, it's what he's given to his man. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit is of the tree yielding seed, it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and even morning for the sixth day. So God put everything, the seed within itself, so that we could always replant, rebuild, replant, rebuild. The only reason the earth could not do it is because those that were sanctioned to do so were dead. Think about it, the first one, first time. However, God, whatever he created, I'm sure he created it to advance and to speak by faith and to move forward. But the devil completely took it out and destroyed it. That's why this time he's going to shorten the days. There wasn't anybody left. He's been through this a few times. Okay. All right, Genesis 2. God put man over the good that he had made to tend it. All right, this is 2 verse 16. And the Lord God took the man, or 15, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So he's been made in God's likeness and image. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. That hasn't changed. We can call it the way we want it. The King James Version says, dress it and keep it. The Amplified uses the word tend. Tend. So God set the man in the garden to keep in order all that God had made. How has man done? Not the bueno. All right, Genesis 3. I don't know the time span from the time that God set this up, the first two chapters, and what happened in the third chapter. I don't know the time span. The scriptures don't really say. Was it a week? Was it a day? Was it 1,000 years? I don't know. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So we see there's a curse here. Man went from tending to toiling. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Have you ever wondered why women scream when they see a snake? I got to thinking about that. There's enmity between. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So what happened? God had everything laid out, and all he had to do was tend it. It was perfect. And all he had to do was see to it, tend to it. I believe all he had to do was speak to it. But here come the devil with his lies. And the next thing you knew, he went from tending to toiling. And we have been in that system, the beast system, ever since. Man has worked by the sweat of his brow, and the government's stolen most of it. A lot of times, work all your life to set up a retirement account, and then you die before you can even enjoy it. It's just that toiling that God never meant. But I have good news today. Being a Christian, being born again, we come out from under the toiling, and we come back under tending. Okay, man went from tending to toiling. The Lord brought up Solomon to me. He is known as the wisest man in the Bible and also probably the richest. His honor was known all over the world at the time too. I want to look at this. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I want you to see, even though Solomon got off in his latter days, he began with a right heart. Second Chronicles 1:7. Now Solomon, his father David had laid up riches so that Solomon could build the temple. God said, your son Solomon would be the one to build it. Verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So because his attitude was, God, I just need wisdom to lead your people. And he didn't ask for all of these things. God gave him all the things. In other words, you seek first the kingdom. You tend to God's business and his things. And he was tending to God's people first. And he said, I'm going to give you all the other two because your attitude, your heart was right. Okay, 2 Chronicles 9. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company, and camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel and his accent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, and the spices of great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram, and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace, and harps, and psalteries for singers, and there were none which such seen before in the land of Judah. King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned, went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. I don't know how much that is, but it sounds like a lot. Besides, especially with it now being over $1,800 an ounce. Beside that which chapmen and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon, and King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went to one target, and 300 shields made he of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, and were fastened to the throne and stays on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all the drinking vessels of Solomon were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon. And it goes on to talk about the thousands. He had 12,000 horsemen. He had 4,000 stalls for horses. Look at this. Verse 27. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones, like rocks you kick around. Cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains in abundance. I mean, this man was filthy rich. It was just dripping off of him what God had done because he tended to his people. He was tending to God's business. And it just run him down. Solomon asked God not for wisdom and riches and honor, but for the wisdom to tend God's people. James gives us some insight in this subject right here. We'll look at James chapter 4. He didn't put riches first. Do you know when you have a lot of things, things don't become where they're not important. But I think what's so great about it is this is how God wants us all to be. We have so much. Who would ever covet? Who would ever, you know what I'm saying? It's just an attitude. James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. I would be willing to say today, Antifa would have not a word to say if they were rich. Why are they doing what they're doing? Somebody's paying them off. You see what I mean? The love of money is root to all evil, but money answers all things. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. There's the answer right there. He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, but your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's an attitude. He could trust Solomon, even though Solomon got off with wicked women. But it doesn't say that he got off in the finances. When we tend to God's business, he makes you rich. That's just no getting around it. God does it. When you quit using your efforts to make yourself rich and you use your efforts to tend to God's business, he'll make you rich. He'll give you the honor. Solomon had it. Queen of Sheba, come, man, I've heard about you. Woo. Half wasn't even told me. God never meant for man to toil and to follow after the almighty dollar. He did not want man to know this toil. He prepared everything for the man to rule and reign. How? By tending to what God made. I mean, it talks about all the riches. Let me go back to Genesis. I heard someone say the other day that all those riches that God made are still in the Euphrates, where the angels are guarding it, guarding the garden. And those angels are going to be loosed, and that river's going to dry up. And guess what's going to be exposed? I think it's in chapter 3. No. Well, we know in chapter 3 at the end that the garden is guarded by the angels. Nobody can go into it. But there's a place where it talks about the gold and the silver and all the stuff. I didn't look
so
those.
In chapter 2, starting about verse 11.
Okay. Well, verse 10 says, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and it became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, or Pison. That it is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same it is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Sedekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river in Euphrates. So God supplied all of this. Even the garden was watered. I mean, it really makes Adam look dumb, doesn't it? I mean, he had, think of the setup the man had. Okay. He prepared everything for the man to rule and reign. How? By tending to what God made, keeping everything in good divine order. That's what happened in Genesis 1. He put back in order what the devil had destroyed. And then he put the man in the garden to tend it. In other words, keep it in order. How do we keep it in order? God said. Keeping everything in the good divine order that he put in order in Genesis 1. During this 1,000-year reign, men are going to be taught how to not toil and how to tend. This is God's will for man. Romans 5:17, we're to reign in life as kings. Okay, ruling and reigning. Most are working for the riches, for the honor, and for the glory. The true heart after God is looking for wisdom to tend. Tell me, Lord, how do I help your people? Tell me, Lord, what you want me to say, what you want me to do. This will result in the riches and the honor and God and get when you give God glory. We are coming out of the slave state into the homeland. And there's some scripture about the homeland. I didn't look those up. The beast system has enslaved us all. Now, with what God is doing, we will be slaves no longer and be like God wanted us to be in the garden before man fell, before he fell prey to the beast system. I like what Abraham said to Melchizedek. Abraham got it. God made Abraham rich. This is Genesis chapter 14. Starting in verse 8. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the valley of Siddim. When Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five, and the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came out that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dell. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lasset, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. So God made Abraham rich, and he didn't want anybody saying anything else to the contrary. All right. Rich is the natural state for those who tend to God in his things. There is no poor. Rich. Matthew 6:33. Okay, I'll give you one more scripture. Genesis 26. Now we know when Abraham got off his land and went to Egypt, he got into trouble, brought back Hagar. This is his son, Isaac. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, gave him a stop sign. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and thine unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Who are the Philistines? Beast. So, same thing happened to Isaac. In the time of famine, God blessed him, gave him, made him rich, and they couldn't understand it. They envied him. I'm sure the Queen of Sheba envied Solomon. She had to go see for herself. See, God will do it, but we have to let it go. We're tenders, not toilers. God's offspring are the envy of the world. Think it's not so? Then why is Satan always inciting wicked men to get rid of us? They are afraid of what's coming in the kingdom age. It won't be like it in this age. I challenge you today, renew your mind to God's financials and how he operates, just like you have concerning God's medicine, as opposed to the false narrative, beast system narrative. God has never meant for you to be under health care. He's never meant for you to struggle and toil financially. Because Jesus set the record straight. And even you see there are a few that broke free and walked by faith even under the curse. But we've been redeemed from the curse. It's just a mindset. When you've been used to toiling your whole life, you think you got to work by the sweat of your brow to get anything. I was telling her about our little waitress friend that don't you dare give her more than she believes she's earned. Some people just won't let God bless them because of that attitude.